Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Go. Final hour of the program means the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Little Stephanie Mills and Teddy P to get us going. Two hearts. Director always gets the first request. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We are asking you to download the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. Easiest way to do it, have the Odyssey.com app downloaded. Put that on one of your devices, right? That smartphone, the Alexa speakers, tablet, Casio watch, Nikon camera, Palm Pilot, Light Bright, whatever your device is, Sega Genesis, just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that of course would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That of course your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass from me, it is Jarvis at JarvisD90. Quickly here before we get to an NFL squib quick, Braves bullpen has blown the lead. Noah was terrific tonight. 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run. The only run was that Adam Duvall home run, who almost hit another one out. 10 strikeouts and 1 walk in the game. Threw 82 pitches through 6 innings between Luke Jackson, A.J. Minter, and Nathan Jones. They have managed to blow the lead. 3-3 right now is your score as Braves try to get back on a winning way. So let's hope they come back and get this thing over with. I'd really like to see a 3 out of 4 against the Marlins. They got the Marlins the next 4 games before they head on the road to take on the Cubs. Got the Yankees coming up next week too. You know, this weekend will be Cubs, then Yankees, and then back home for Cubs and Diamondbacks, I think it is, that will be here. So we'll keep you up to date about what the Braves do. But first, let's get to our NFL squib kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So Julian Edelman was cut by the New England Patriots after failing his physical and has announced, his retirement from the league. We talked about Taylor Gabriel retiring from the league. Julian Edelman now will be out of the league. And now there's been debate. I saw all the debate about is he a Hall of Famer and this, that, and the other. Man, are we that desperate for – are there like no other wide receivers that you'd put in the Hall of Fame? I mean, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Hines Ward and guys like that are sitting out there right now. That's – all those guys are out there, and, you know, you'd talk about whether or not Julian Edelman would be in the Hall of Fame or not. He has, for his career, 620 catches for 6,822 yards and 36 touchdowns. So if you want to look at his career numbers. And people are like, well, because he got a Super Bowl MVP. Okay. So Who was that cornerback for Dallas? Not Timmy Smith. Timmy Smith, what was it? Larry Brown. So Larry Brown should be in the Hall of Fame because he got a Super Bowl MVP. Timmy Smith, the running back for the Redskins, want him in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, exactly. Anyway. I mean, Edelman was a nice player. He had a season where he caught he had two seasons where he caught over 100 balls. Did a lot of good things for the Patriots. Three-time Super Bowl champion. Not taking anything away from him. But Hall of Fame? I don't know. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. How many all-decade or first team? Let's see just real quickly here. No first team all-NFL. No Pro Bowls. Okay. That's the guy I'm putting in the Hall of Fame? Anyway. Really nice player. No, he's not a Hall of Famer, so we can stop the talk right there. This story, we've talked about this before, this story. So now we know that the Kansas City Chiefs former assistant, Britt Reid, of course, he is the son of Andy Reid. He has been charged with felony driving while intoxicated for his involvement in a crash earlier this year that has left a 5-year-old girl critically injured. I think she has some long-term brain damage, actually, as well. Says the Jackson County, Missouri Prosecutor's Office filed the Class D felony charge Monday, stating that Reid operated a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol and acted with criminal negligence by driving at an excessive rate of speed. Says he would face a maximum of 7 years in prison. This happened, obviously, back on February 4th. He slammed into two vehicles on the side of a highway entrance ramp near the Chiefs training complex. Said he was driving 83.9 miles an hour just 1.9 seconds before his Dodge Ram collided with two parked vehicles on the ramp. And says one of the vehicles, said a test of Reid's blood serum after the crash showed his blood alcohol concentration to be at 0.113 above the legal limit of 0.08. And he admitted to having two or three drinks along with prescribed Adderall before the crash. So this was a terrible story. A lot of people hurt in all of this. Like I said, I think the one young girl actually has some brain damage. I was trying to see if it said it in the story or not. Can I tell you, we talked about this at the time, and I'll say it now. If he is convicted and he did this, he should not get anything less than the maximum sentence. And he should be going away for a while. I got no sympathy for him, and you know, hate to say it this way, but their family doesn't exactly have the best track record in the world. I give him no benefit of the doubt. He'll go through the process and go through the trial, but if he's found guilty, this should be a maximum sentence. You want to send a message to these guys, stick them in jail. You permanently injure a young girl. A young child is permanently injured because of your accident. And again, it's not an accident. When you are drinking and mixing that with Adderall and driving at 84 miles an hour, coming onto an off ramp. Sorry, man, you're gonna get no sympathy from me. I can't believe the charge is only a 7-year maximum sentence. To be honest with you, I can't believe that it's only a 7-year sentence out of all of it. We talked about this when the story happened out there, that this is a really bad story, and now he's been officially charged with it. Yes, we'll go through the process. We'll go through the legal process. He's innocent until proven guilty. But if he's proven guilty and he gets anything less than the maximum sentence, you're sending the wrong message. Your bad behavior and you ruin the life of a young girl, a 5-year-old girl whose life is permanently ruined. Not because it'd be one thing if it was an accident or something, but when you're excessively driving speed. The same thing with this Tiger Woods thing. You want to say, oh man, I hope Tiger's okay. I hope this guy's going to be okay. Then you find out that, this guy's driving 80 miles an hour. That guy's driving 80-some miles an hour. I mean, what the frick, man? Who does that? I'll be the first guy to sit there and tell you I drive fast and things at times. But, there's a difference between being reckless, driving fast and being reckless. You're driving 80-some miles an hour in a residential area. you're driving 80 some miles an hour like Reed was under, you know, after a few drinks and Adderall. Like, who does that? Like, what normal person? When does a message get sent to people like this? Like I said, I'm surprised it's only a 7 year. That's not nearly enough. Somebody in Missouri should be fighting for, there should be, number one, a mandatory minimum if you get convicted in something like this. And number two is, that maximum should be higher. Sorry, I got, and I hate to say, you know, and you can call me the a-hole for it, it ain't like his family's exactly had the best track record. Ain't like the Andy Reid family, Jarvis, has exactly had the best track record of how they've operated, you know, away from football. But
I mean, interestingly enough, his contract was up this year, so
yeah.
And, of course, they didn't renew it. So it's kind of almost like now they don't even have to respond to it or even address him, you know, now because he's no longer an employee of the team. And there were some reports that he possibly was drinking, you know, at a facility, you know, or was coming from the facility or whatever. So, yeah, it's just a bad situation, man.
Anybody want to try to sell me on the idea that this was the first time that he had a few drinks in Adderall and drove home?
Hell no, man.
Huh? I mean, is anybody going to try to sell me on that stupid narrative?
Yeah.
If you are, you should stop listening to the show at that point. You're going to try to sell me on that kind of narrative. This unfortunately, the mix and everything else finally caught up to him in a horrific incident happened in all this. And, yeah, I get touchy. When kids get hurt, you know, when a kid is hurt, and this girl's got permanent injuries. Like I said, I think it's brain damage.
Brain damage, yes. Yeah, permanent brain damage.
You know, sorry, man. You officially lose me. Like I said, he'll go through the legal process, and if he's guilty, you know, again, he's innocent until proven guilty. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in the court of the law, but in the court of public opinion, I'm not giving him a whole lot of benefit of the doubt, especially given his family's history out there. So we'll see, but we'll keep you up to date on all this. And like I said, I mean, if he is guilty, then he needs to go away for a while. Looks like the Browns are close to getting with Jadeveon Clowney. They were supposed to have a meeting today, but because of some travel issues, that meeting will be pushed back to Wednesday. Now, why do the Browns need to sign Jadeveon Clowney? Man, they got Myles Garrett and they got Tack McKinley. Oh.
Funny man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So, look, the Browns are in go-for-it mode. They've got money. This makes sense. I don't know what Clowney is, but what I do know is they got that dude on the other side. So, if Clowney can stay healthy, why not? Why not see if you can catch lightning in a bottle? I'm sure he'll get a decent amount of money, too. I don't think it's going to be fish heads and rice that he's going to get to come there. I'm sure it'll still be a decent amount of money, but why not if you're the Browns? You know, why not roll the dice on a pass rusher and see what you got, you know, get somebody to go with Garrett out of all of it. So who's one of the best defensive players in the NFL right now and certainly on an ascension, you know, upward for all of it. So I think that's a good signing for the Browns. Like I said, I don't know what Clowney exactly is now at this point, but I think it's a good signing nonetheless. Matt Rhule says, we believe in Sam Darnold. While he resisted calling him the starting quarterback, he said the team is hopeful that the move to Carolina will result in a tremendous time for a player he thinks he can play at a high level. We believe in Sam. We believe in his skill set. We believe in his approach. I don't think there's a game you watch he doesn't make a play where you don't say, there it is. I think his arm talent, his movement are great fit for the guys here that he'll be playing with. Now, by the way, too, it was supposedly reported that they allowed Teddy Bridgewater to start pursuing trade talks with somebody. So it looks like the Teddy Bridgewater era in Carolina will be coming to an end. What are they doing it for their first pick? Now that they've got Darnold, what are they going to do with the first pick out of all of it? Where are they going? Are they looking for offensive line? Are they trying to go for more weapons? Because remember, they pick, what, 7th in the draft? I think it's 7th that they pick in the draft, right? Cincinnati's 5. The Dolphins are now 6. And Carolina is, no, 8th. I'm sorry, because the Lions are number 7. Yeah, Lions are 7th. Carolina picks 8th in the draft. So, curious now what they do, because obviously they were looking for quarterback, and now they've got their quarterback. But I think before this trade, I think we obviously thought that they would draft quarterback or certainly would be in the mix of trying to go find one out there. I wonder if they may draft still another guy later on in the draft, because if they do move on from Teddy Bridgewater, still need a veteran to shouldn't say veteran necessarily, but still need somebody to back up Sam Darnold. But we'll see what he can do. I mean, he'll be in the NFC South now, and they may not have announced him as the starter, but he's going to be the starting quarterback for Carolina. You don't make that trade for Sam Darnold and not make him the starting quarterback out of all of it. All right, when we get back, one thing that I've noticed about this Braves pitching staff thus far is maybe something that we haven't seen as much of them come playoff time in years past. I'll explain that next. Chuck Reese hanging out with you in the Key Studios. Head to the top of the hour of the JR Sports Brief, Sports Radio Net to the Game, and on the radio or Odyssey.com app. See, I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold, cold wine. Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along here on the John Chuckery Show. Headed to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. 404-741-0929. Solomon Bros. Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 99 the Game. At JMCH316 is at Jarvis P90.
You auditioning for the choir, Storm?
Yeah. listen, I need as much extra salary as I can get around here. So, I mean, I already work 6 days a week. Let's add a couple more into it. But anyway, we will talk a little WrestleMania coming up here before next in about 20 minutes from now or so with all of it. Braves, we are watching 3-3. Hate to say a wasted start by Noah, but it was. 6 innings, 3 hits, an earned run, 10 strikeouts. Bullpen came in and blew it. Will Smith just got done finishing up an inning as we head to the bottom of the ninth. And let's see if the Braves can win this thing and get this thing done and over with against the Marlins. 4 games against the Marlins here this week. And then they'll play the Cubs. They'll head on the road and head to Chicago, to the Windy City, and play the Cubs for a weekend set. And then they will head off to New York. Actually, they'll have Monday off, and then they'll go to New York for a couple of games, a little bit of interleague play before coming back home through all of it. So it's been the Ronald Acuna show tonight. He's 1-for-2, 2 runs, 2 walks in the game, has a steal, has a triple. He's done just about everything that you could ask him to do. Now hitting .447 on the year with a .488 on base percentage. Ozzy's got a couple of RBIs to go along with it as well. One thing about the Braves, too, this year, as we just saw Will Smith and we talked about Noah and his start tonight. One thing about the Braves this year that I do really like, and maybe it's something that we haven't seen as much of from the Atlanta Braves in years past, especially sometimes in some of these playoff series. But if you look at this Braves, not just relief pen, but their starting staff, the amount of guys that can get outs without contact. You know, you look right now, we talked with Gabe about Drew Smiley. You know, Drew Smiley's 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Charlie Morton's just about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. Ian Anderson's over 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. Freed is at 14.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. And then you get to the bullpen and you have guys like Will Smith at 11.3. Minter's almost 11 strikeouts. Matzik's almost 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. Even Josh Tomlin's over 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Nate Jones at almost 10. Sean Newcomb at 24.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. Those Braves get the leadoff guy on after, what is it, Alex? Was it, no, Riley got plunked there. So, geez, hit him right on the leg, too. That was a heck of a pitch. But you look at these Braves pitchers, and they got a lot of guys, not just in their bullpen, but starting pitcher-wise, that they get outs without contact. And, you know, it's been that old argument, if you will, in years past about the idea of, you know, who would you rather have in the playoffs? Did he just hit a second guy? He's hit two guys in a row. That's Alex Jackson. He's hit two guys in a row, both on the leg. It's one of these submarine right-handed pitchers, and he hit two right-handed batters on the leg. Where the hell is he throwing to? I mean, it's not intentional. He's intentionally trying to hit somebody. He's got zero control out there. Good Lord. You hit two right-handed batters already in the leg. He's got no control. About time to yank him. Anyway, not rank him, but yank him. But anyway, you know, it's always been that debate, right? Who do you want in the playoffs, Greg Maddux or John Smoltz? And I don't think it's coincidence that guys like John Smoltz have thrived in playoff baseball, because when you get at-bats that are so magnified in playoffs, and that's what they are, every time that ball is put in play, something can happen with it. And it just feels like every time the ball is put in play in playoff baseball, it's much more amped up and ramped up because hits and runs and everything become much more of a premium. So getting outs without contact, and look, understandably that we're in an era of baseball when more guys, you know, as hitters are strikeout home run. You know, the Braves have some of those guys. That's Austin Riley, and in some ways it's Marcell Ozuna right now, and Dansby has some of that in him as well. And obviously that caters to pitching, you know, as well for getting those kinds of numbers. But it feels like, we know Smiley's a, you know, historically pretty good, you know, say what you will about his metrics and sabermetrics and all those kinds of crazy things. You know, he's a guy that gets outs without contact by nature. Charlie Morton a couple of years ago was a 240 strikeout pitcher. Ian Anderson and Max Fried, two young guys that have lots of good stuff that get guys out. And then we know Smith, you know, we talked about all through spring training, you know, Will Smith had like 16 guys that he faced, 11 of them he struck out. Minter, hard thrower, Matzik, you know, as well. So the bullpen guys, I expected you're going to have those hard throws guys without contact. But the Braves have literally four and potentially five starters in Soroka. Heck, maybe six if you want to throw Noah with the way he's been. I mean, he's now got 15 strikeouts and 12 innings on the year, does Noah, in his two starts and one bullpen appearance. Five or six guys who can get lots of outs without contact. And I don't know that we've seen enough of that in years past out of Braves pitching staffs. And so if you're talking about those little added things about how does a team win a World Series, or the configuration of your roster, or this, that, and the other, you know, even if a guy like Drew Smyler or Noah, obviously, you know, I would say if Noah's making starts in the playoffs, either he's had a Cy Young caliber season or you've got guys that are banged up everywhere. But even if a Drew Smyler, let's say, who's their most expensive starting pitcher, let's say if he's not even a starter in the playoffs, you know, guys like that have enough stuff and moxie and ability to get guys out without contact, which is so huge. So it's an aspect, you know, we talk about these little nuggets about the Braves that make them so good and maybe some advantages, or how do you get over the hump of the Dodgers, or how do you advance in the playoffs, or what have you. Things like this. You know, the Braves right now as a team are about 11 strikeouts per nine innings. And they've been one of the better, you know, if you look at their team strikeouts and you look at their strikeouts per nine innings, they're in the upper half of Major League Baseball. They're pretty high up in Major League Baseball. Not number one or number two, but they're one of the higher teams in Major League Baseball, especially when you look at strikeouts per nine innings. It's one of the better numbers out there. And I think that, you know, the mix of both the starting rotation and the bullpen is a nice mixture of guys that, you know, can do that. You know, it's not some of these guys that we've seen in years past, even in the bullpen, you know, not necessarily the Mike Remlingers or the, you know, Chris Hammonds or guys like that that, you know, weren't always the hardest throwers, you know, but you've got a lot of guys now in your starting rotation that can get outs without contact. And I think when you get in playoff baseball, I think that's a big thing. I think that's obviously a big advantage if you have guys like that. It's not, like I said, not coincidence when John Smoltz, you know, why do you want him over Greg Maddux? Because he's got that, you know, rare backfire and guys don't make any contact with it. And it is, you know, it is interesting that, you know, in looking at those two kinds of pitchers, you know, who do you want? You know, Randy Johnson or, you know, Greg Maddux? And, You know, guys that can get strikeouts and guys that can, you know, make guys, you know, get outs without contact. So valuable to have in playoff baseball. And if you can get that out of your starting rotation, you know, that's even more valuable. So, Braves right now, 3-3, bottom of nine, two guys on as they had back-to-back guys get hits. And now you got who's up now? Is Ronnie up now? And I just flipped up over. Yeah, so Ronnie's up now, who's had the night. He's been the cog in the offense tonight, the guy that's gotten everything going. Triple hit, but he got a walk to start the game, stole a base, scored on an Ozuna single. Then he tripled later on in the game. Ozzie basically hit a glorified pop-up that got a little bit out in the outfield, but not real far, and Ronnie scored on that. So he is he scored two of the three runs so far this evening in this game. So Braves trying to come back and see if they can win this thing in the bottom of the ninth and not have to take it to extra innings, as this is the first of four games they take on with the Marlins. Don't forget, too, we got Hawks basketball coming up tomorrow. Speaking of all the Atlanta sports, we got a lot going on. We got Hawks basketball coming up tomorrow. Don't forget, we've got a special G-Day edition of College Football Game Time coming up on Saturday, as G-Day will take place coming up Saturday. We're going to talk to our buddy Chip Towers coming up on Friday. So a lot going on locally. And, you know, just finished up the Masters, but Braves are getting at it. Hawks still, you know, rolling right along. Last 18 games of the season, last, you know, 20-25% of the schedule for the Atlanta Hawks and Atlanta United. That's another thing we got coming up tomorrow as well. Now, don't forget, Atlanta United, because the CONCACAF is not on 92.9 The Game. That's that whole ESPN, FS1, or whatever that owns the CONCACAF, that they don't distribute the radio broadcasts and stuff. So we will not have Atlanta United, but they're trying to win their second leg in advance in the CONCACAF Championship League. No Alan Franco, by the way, too. I think they said that they already said that he was not going to be part of the roster coming up for this match tomorrow night. So lots of stuff, you know, here locally. Hawks, Braves, United, you know, G-Day, T-Day coming up. College football season right around the corner. But we'll see if the Braves can at least pull off a victory tonight after what was a blown call last night. But, you know, it's why I say all the time, expanding replay doesn't make it better if the humans are still involved in it. If the humans are still running the replay, you can expand it all you want. You just increase the ability for more human error in it. And that's what it was, is that you looked at something that was a just like the same thing with Conforto, you know, where the umpire admitted that he made the wrong call. Yeah, they can go and look at the replay of the guy getting hit, whether or not he got hit, but did he do it intentionally, is that's a judgment call. That's not reviewable, or that's not, you don't have the ability to go in there and use replay to determine all that. That's a judgment call out of all of it. So, all right, when we get back, let's talk a little bit about WrestleMania, my thoughts about what we saw Saturday and Sunday evening, as we'll wait to see if the Braves can wrap this thing up in regulation. Chuck, we're hanging out with you to the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief up next. Sports Radio 910 The Game on the Odyssey.com. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Chuck Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. We head to the top of the hour in the JR Sports Brief. Waiting to see what the Braves are going to do. Bases loaded now for Ozzy. Had a couple of pretty good pitches and a couple of pretty decent swings to try to make something happen. So let's see what he can do here, if he can end this thing and wrap it all up. 404-741-0929. Solomon Bros. Diamond Tech's going to be on this show. We'll be back with you tomorrow night after Hawks basketball, so our famous end of game until. So we will be on afterward as the Hawks take on the Raptors tomorrow night in Toronto. Speaking of the Hawks, Hawks are proud to honor the life and legacy of Dr. King with the season's MLK Nike City Edition uniforms and matching court at State Farm Arena. Join us for Unity Night when the Hawks take on the Milwaukee Bucks this Thursday, tax day, April 15th at 7:30. presented by State Farm. Grab your tickets at Hawks.com/tickets and learn more about Unity Nights at Hawks.com/MLK. And then, as always, come back here to Sports Radio 910 The Game to hear every play of every game. And like I said, we'll be on afterward tomorrow evening. It'll be our, I guess, two for Wednesday. What did we say? We had a different one for Wednesday. Two for Tuesday. We had something else for Wednesday. But we'll have a show that'll take us into Wednesday morning, and then we'll be back on Wednesday night for it all. WrestleMania over the weekend. We're watching the also flipping back and forth between the Raw, which is always one of the highest rated Raws of the year, the night after WrestleMania. You know, it was a two-night event again this year like it was last year. It was great to see crowd and people and all that. Not going to lie. That to me was the number one thing. And then Vince did the opening for it. Welcome everybody. That's always awesome as well. I always love when Vince comes out there. Say what you will about Vince McMahon, but there is something special about when he comes out and does something about it. Even today, even at 100 years old, when Vince comes out, it's different. By the way, we're going to free baseball after Ozzie bounced out. What did he bounce out to the first baseman? Free baseball coming up here as Braves Marlin tied at 3. So I thought that was cool. And, you know, Vince and them also, you know, Vince doesn't do the national anthem at these events. He always does America the Beautiful. And, you know, I thought, what was it? First night was BB Rixa and then some country singer on the second night. So there were two really good renditions of America the Beautiful. As far as the quality of the matches and stuff like that, Saturday was way better than Sunday night. I'll be honest with you. I thought Sunday night was pretty lame. I was not overly excited. I thought the Fiend-Randy Orton match was ridiculous. And, you know, they're teasing the whole Samson and Delilah story. In fact, even Bray Wyatt put a tweet out about a picture of Samson and Delilah. It's ridiculous. I like some of the story in it. The match itself was kind of ridiculous with some of the things that went on. I am surprised that Drew McIntyre didn't win the title and get that pop from the crowd that he missed last year, but I do like Bobby Lashley having the title. I don't think that's a bad thing. No surprise. I thought Roman Reigns would defend the title. He did. He, you know, ended up, you know, Edge took out Daniel Bryan. Roman took out Edge, and then he put them both on their back and pinned them both. Laid on top both of them and pinned them both. It was all right. I mean, it was a lot of spots and a lot of herky-jerky camera work and things like that, but I thought the first night was much better. I liked the Belair-Sasha Banks match. I thought that was pretty good. The Bad Bunny match, if you didn't get a chance to see, Bad Bunny, man, I give him credit, man. He got in there and he mixed it up and did really well. That was one of the better celebrity performances I've ever seen in WWE. I thought he did himself well. And frankly, I thought Miz and Morrison really did a good job of helping put him over. So Saturday night was much better. If I had to rate the show overall, it was all right. I think it was a great WrestleMania. Wasn't terrible. I wasn't crazy about the Shane Strawn Broman match because you know what was going to come. It'd be a few minutes long and there'd be some crazy spot, and they, of course, did that. Last night, the matches were really kind of, yeah. Tag team match was okay with the women, but you kind of knew who was going to win that. The Fiend versus Randy Orton was really weird. The triple threat match, I'm not a big fan of triple threat matches. I would have much rather seen either Daniel Bryan and Roman or Edge and Roman go at it. It was all right. I don't think it was great, but it was okay. Big E, okay. I mean, that match was all right. Sheamus and Riddle, ugh, you missed me with all of that. So all the momentum that they had coming out of Saturday night, I thought they lost it on Sunday. It'd be interesting to see if they're going to do WrestleMania as a two-night event moving forward. It's just, you had two, and they had a 20-minute rain delay on Saturday. But you're talking about they had two 3-plus-hour shows. You know, the Sunday night show didn't end until like 11:30. It was after midnight because of the rain delay on the other one. I mean, a couple years ago, WrestleMania, when it was at, what was it? Not the Meadowlands. What do they call that stadium in New York now where the Jets and Giants? MetLife? When it was at MetLife Stadium, from the start of the actual show, not the pregame, not the dark match, because they had a dark match on there, just the start of the show, It's a six-hour pay-per-view, like 6 to 7 hours. People that are there for some of the pregame and the dark matches that aren't on the broadcast, it's like an eight, nine-hour event. Like, who can sit in there for like 8 hours watching? I don't know. It's just way too long of an event. And I understand it's their Super Bowl, so I get all of that. But you want to sit there for 6 hours and watch wrestling for 6 hours? After a while, it's like, gee, man, Christmas. Like, because you're not going to – it's not like it's 6 hours of the Rock versus Stone Cold. You know, it's a women's tag team match. It's Sheamus versus Riddle. I mean, there's – most of it is junk. Most of it is a lot of junk that they put in there to get people on WrestleMania and, you know, give them a little bit of a boost. But I don't know. I hope they do it. I like the two-night thing. I like the Saturday and Sunday aspect of it. I think that's a good thing. But it wouldn't surprise me if they go back to just one night on all of this. And don't forget, they're working with the pay-per-view company and things like that too. You know, Saturday night pay-per-views, you know, you get MMA and boxing and UFC and all that kind of stuff. I mean, so – you know, sometimes you're competing with some of that, even though it does stream on Peacock. I think there is a way to sign up for it through a traditional pay-per-view on there. But I don't know. I like the two-night event better if you're gonna break it all up. Me personally, I think it should be one night, but they condense the show. Like, why can't you get done in like three and a half hours everything that you need to get done? Not everybody has to be on a WrestleMania show. Like, it's okay if Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon don't put on a WrestleMania match. I'm good with that. Because I know Shane's going to do some crazy kind of bump, and he did. He got thrown off top of the cage. I mean, shocking, huh? I mean, you know if he's in a match, he's only there to do something ridiculous at WrestleMania, right? One of these days, he's going to end up, you know, he's going to be like Mae Young out there at 90 years old still trying to take bumps. And he's going to, one day, if he's not careful, he's going to take the wrong bump, the wrong angle, and he won't have to worry about taking any more bumps. There won't be any more bump taken for Shane McMahon's career. So, wasn't a bad show. I didn't think it was all that great. Sunday night really kind of, I was having trouble just kind of keeping up with watching Sunday night. I mean, it wasn't that exciting on Sunday night. But I thought Saturday night held up really well. It had a lot of good moments. I liked it. You know, I thought, like I said, Bad Bunny did himself really well in his match. I thought Belair and Sasha Banks was a really good match, but you know, just the most of these mid-card matches, like Riddle versus Sheamus, like, ugh, okay. And I don't know what they're doing with this whole Fiend story. I love Alexa Bliss. I think she's one of the best on the microphone. I think you could make a case to me that she's their best performer when she gets on the mic. I think Paul Heyman's the best that there is on the microphone. But as far as in-ring performers, I think she's the best they've got on the microphone, including over Drew McIntyre or, you know, some of those other guys. I mean, the sad part is, like, MVP is really good on the mic. You know, he doesn't wrestle anymore, and maybe he's got a new career with managing and being on the mic or what have you. But it was good. I guess, what do we have next? Money in the Bank, right? That's the next pay-per-view. So you get Money in the Bank. You know, The Miz cashed in his Money in the Bank a couple months ago to win the title. So we'll have Money in the Bank, I guess, will be the next pay-per-view sometime, probably in, mid-May or something like that. So, but not bad overall. Peacock, yeah, you can't do the back and forth. So if you want to go back and watch something on Peacock, it doesn't have like the, you know, you can jump ahead, I think, like 20, 30 seconds or whatever, like back and forth out of all of it. You got to manipulate it a little bit differently, but that'll be what's interesting is when they get all the content on the network about how much you can really watch and see and how easy it is. Because the interface on WWE Network, the old WWE Network, was fantastic. I mean, it was a really good, easy-to-use interface. This one, you know. And I tell you this, on the first night, I guarantee you Vince was a little bit ticked off because he had your ring announcer that announced the winner of the wrong match in the I think it was the tag team turmoil match, and then you had your play by play announcer Michael Cole, who ended up he didn't realize that it was the finish of Belair and Sasha Banks, so he missed that pinning call as well. Wasn't great on couple of those fronts. All right, when we get back, it's going to be time for the Love TKO, wrapping things up here on a Monday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Odyssey.com app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.